everyone. Welcome to another edition of Zero Hour. I'm your host, Erica Gami, and on the show again, we have our East Coast representative, Lee May.
Hey!
And we're here to talk about BoroughCon. So, BoroughCon, I believe it's a first-year con, correct?
Yeah, this is their first year, 2017.
Excellent. It's a first-year con set in Queens, hence the title BoroughCon. For those of you guys listening on the West Coast, there's this running in joke with New York City. There's like five different boroughs, and hence we have BoroughCon in Queens. And if you know your comics, you know that Peter Parker of Spider-Man fame lives in Queens. So I take it that BoroughCon was an everything convention?
Yeah, of course. It covers really everything. I did see predominantly there's a lot of comics and movies, but they had, you know, anime too, video games, obviously cosplay, comic books, like a ton of different things.
Excellent. All right, let's get into BoroughCon. So Lee, how did you find out about BoroughCon? Because this is also the first time I'm hearing about it.
I actually heard about it, I think I heard about it in the fall originally because someone asked me, like, are you going to BoroughCon? And I was like, oh, what is this? And they're like, wait, you live in Queens, right? I'm like, yeah, I live in Queens. And they told me, oh, it's in Queens. And so I looked it up and it seemed like this is their first year. It takes place on St. John's University's campus, but it's not run by the university. So I think what happened was they, like, rented the space to use as a venue.
Oh, okay.
So it's just the venue, but it's an independent organization that runs it. And they've actually had experience running other cons, I believe, because when you look at the history of BoroughCon, even though BoroughCon's first year, the people who worked on it had worked on another con from Florida.
Oh, interesting. So, it looks like this was a generic pop culture convention taking place in New York. And I know, like, one of the main things about New York is, I know for, like, the past couple of years, they've been wanting to have more conventions within the main boroughs, because I know there used to be New York Anime Fest. I used to attend that when I was younger, and I know you guys have New York Comic Con, but even then, now I know it's very much a Hunger Games of just trying to get tickets for all 4 days, or even just a day. So I think it's nice that...
Yeah, so many horror stories.
Yeah, I think it's very nice that New York is just having more events for more people to attend to, because not everyone can afford to go, or even afford the time to...
Or even be able to go.
Yeah, for New York Comic Con, so that's just nice that they have, like, plenty of different options within them. Within New York City, that's pretty awesome. So, how long did it take you to get from where you are to BoroughCon? It seems like you can just take a hop onto the MTA and be there.
Yeah, it took. Well, I live in Queens. I don't live in that area of Queens, but it was pretty accessible. Like, even I knew people who went from Brooklyn and people went from even New Jersey and such. And with New York City, obviously, there's a lot of different transit options. So for me, I took the subway and then I took a bus. So it took me maybe about an hour. It would have been faster, I believe, wasn't the weekend, but the subway I usually take always has issues on Saturdays and Sundays.
Oh, why am I not surprised?
Yeah, it's like, no one has to work, but it's like, it's all good, though. Mm-hmm. Like, it was working, it was very slow, and with delays.
And this con took place on Memorial Day weekend, so was it like a 3 day or like a 4 day convention?
It was a 4 day con.
Okay,
yeah,
did
so
you go all 4 days?
26 to 29. I only went on Saturday and Sunday due to work and other stuff on Memorial Day.
Mm.
But it seems like there was a lot of other cons going on that same weekend, actually.
Oh, yeah. There's Animazement in North Carolina.
Yeah.
We actually had a colleague.
MomoCon.
Yeah, MomoCon. MomoCon looked really interesting because I follow the actors from Steven Universe, and they were just kind of like just derping around at MomoCon. It's like, oh, I wanted to go. And then also out west, we had Fanime and our... NorCal contact, Richie. He also covered Fanime. So it just seems like Memorial Day weekend is like a big weekend for conventions.
Yeah, I know. Like, I actually knew some people from East Coast who asked if they were going to BoroughCon, but they actually were making a trip off to West Coast to hit up Fanime.
Wow, that's quite a trek.
Yeah.
Yeah, so you did 2 days. So tell me more about, like, what you did on those 2 days.
Yeah, of course. So, of course, the most exciting thing for me is when I first arrived at Con, and it was just like, oh my gosh, like, I requested interviews. I'm so excited because they told me they can try their best to get the interviews. And before I even went to the Con on Saturday, heard on the night before on Friday night that they can confirm an interview with the Prince of Saudi Arabia, who was there. Mm-hmm. He was a featured guest at the Con. So I already knew that was there. And when I went to the first press meeting, they let me request other interviews too. And of course, nothing's guaranteed, but I was really happy to get a bunch of interviews done by the end of the weekend.
Awesome. Yeah, so yeah, just tell me more about like was there like any events or was there like a dealer's hall?
Yeah, there was actually a pretty nice dealer's halls, a vendor's area they had set up in one of the buildings, and it's just like with any basic vendor hall you'd see, you can wind in and out in the hallways. There's lots of different options. There's also artists there too, mixed in, so they didn't have like a separate artist alley. It was all combined into one big room.
Okay.
And they had like obviously they had some booths with games and things like that where you could win prizes. So the only one I participated in for like games to win prizes was at the Nesquik booth, and they had like a big Nesquik bunny.
Oh, it seems like
Like the
there was
most
like a lot
impressive
of
costume.
sponsors that were like
Yeah.
sponsoring the event. That I guess
Yeah,
that's just how
Zesco
they
was
can
there
keep
too.
it the prices low and get like guests like Dante Bosco and like just
Yeah,
some
I know.
top A-listers in there.
I know. Yeah, like they had Lyft had a booth there too in the vendors, which I was surprised by. They were handing out these coupons for like, a discount off your Lyft trip for both new Lyft users as well as current Lyft users.
Oh, that's nice. I always see like the current stuff because people always hand me like, "Oh yeah, here's $50 in free Lyft credit." I'm like, "Sweet. Oh, you have to be a new user. Oops."
Yeah, no, because I told them like, oh, I already use Lyft, like I already downloaded it from a year ago. I actually used a different con I went to, and they were like, oh, well, just add this to the code, and that's for current users. I'm like, oh, great.
Oh, that's nice of them. Yeah, I sometimes I see Lyft all the time at cons, and that they're just it's super convenient. And I actually want a pink mustache from them. At Anime Boston, so it's always cool seeing them there. And yeah, you mentioned like the Nesquik Bunny was there. That's
Yeah,
funny.
they had Nesquik. They were giving out free bottles of this like protein shake, which is nice because I was like, yay, protein shake, nice snack. But they had this fun contest when you basically, well, the Nesquik promos or promoters would ask you questions, and you had to draw the Nesquik bunny doing something with whatever it was. So, for example, for me, I had to draw my favorite character from Dino Ace, the main character, basically dancing, like having a dance party with Nesquik Bunny. And I dragged my friend to that booth later because she's a really good artist. And so my friend Carrie had to draw the Nesquik Bunny and the Colossal Titan in Thailand.
That's amazing.
It was like a huge cake because Titan. But I was thinking like, wow, the Nesquik Bunny is apparently Titan too, because with the size, it was like the Nesquik Bunny was kind of the same size Colossal Titan, so I was like, whoa. Yeah, the
Yeah.
modular art like that that was like on the table or something, like just random things with Nesquik Bunny doing a lot of fandom stuff or hanging out with other people.
That's pretty amazing.
Some people. Yeah. What was cool too is they had this area outside. I think it was like a career center building for the campus, but it was named after, I don't know if it was a Chinese student or a teacher or something, but it was a Chinese building. Like the architecture looked very Chinese, and they had performances on the steps of that building, basically on and off all day, both days I was there. So I got to watch some cool like dance cover performances and things like that.
Like, are we talking like K-pop dance covers, Idolmaster, Love Live dance covers?
Yeah, so I saw a K-pop cover or a whole bunch of covers on Saturday, and on Sunday I saw J-pop covers, which was
Excellent.
cool. Yeah, they had different performers, and so I suppose outdoors, so you could just like sit or stand and watch, and then they had the nice stage area. It was actually a really nice backdrop. Like I saw like the K-pop crew. And the J-pop people were doing that too. We were recording the covers as well, and it was just a super nice backdrop because from the Chinese building. They even had like stone lions like outside.
Oh wow. Yeah, so can you tell me more about any events that you attended at BoroughCon? Did you sit in on any panels or?
Yeah, I actually went to the voice acting panel on Sunday, and I also went to a cosplay photography panel.
Oh, how did those
But
go?
yeah, the voice acting panel was really fun. It was most of the guests were there, like Dante Basco's there, Sean Astin was there, and a bunch of other people, and they all interacted really well together. It was also like they're all old buddies. Like I'm sure some of them are buddies, but like just the charisma of everyone, and it was just really fun to watch. And there were even like some of the guests that weren't part of the panel, I noticed were actually in the audience. So it was like a super intimate experience because it was a pretty small auditorium space. Like it wasn't like even auditorium space. I would say it's probably like a lecture hall, I guess. It was called the Little Theater on campus, but it was a really intimate space because the attendees didn't even fill up the whole room. So, and then there were guests mixed in with the audience too, which is cool.
Oh, that's nice. So it seems like a very intimate, like kind of like an inside the actor studio type style for the voice actors panel.
Yeah, exactly. And I know also that I haven't seen the show yet, but everyone keeps telling me to watch it. But one of the guests who was in, not on the panel, but he was in the audience and participated in, like, you know, asking people on the panel, you know, Chester Rushing? He was in Stranger Things.
Okay, yeah, I love Stranger Things.
That show. Yeah, I haven't seen that show, but all my friends keep telling me to watch it, but he was a guest there, and it was cool because at the panel, he was actually asking the panelists what advice wants to go into voice acting too.
So yeah, you also mentioned you attended a cosplay photography panel.
So that one was run by another guest who was there at Borough Con, and on Sunday she actually meant for it to be, it was supposed to be a cosplay photography panel, but I guess they misprinted the schedule. It said cosplay makeup, and so I went for cosplay makeup, but the host Okami Yoshino, who's one of the guests, brought him to the con. It was explaining how it's actually cosplay photography. She doesn't know why it got mixed up, but it was still cool because she showed off photography work that she's done, both like for her as a photographer, but also she modeled in, and things that made composition nice, or like how you can tell a narrative through photos. You know how it doesn't always have to show the models, but you can do things, for example, like a weapon prop and take a photo of that, you know, lying on the ground and sort of telling narrative that way. And she actually showed some Lita photography, too, that she did, which is cool.
Oh, that's nice. Do you remember the name of the photographer?
Well, it was her, Okami Yoshino.
Oh, okay. Oh, yeah.
She's also she was a cosplay guest there.
Oh, nice. Yeah, I believe you have an interview with her, and we still need to upload that on our site. It's been taking a while because we've been having a lot of exciting stuff happening with our site, but we'll get into that later on the show. But we'll definitely have that up, hopefully, before the end of the week.
Great. And we already have two up right now, I believe.
Yeah, we have Dante Bosco and we have Sean Austin. Can you tell me about your experience meeting them?
Yeah, I know. That was really amazing. It was unreal. Like, okay, so like first, like Dante Bosco was the first interview I ever did, ever. And I was so nervous, like, before. I was like, oh my gosh, I'm Dante Bosco. But then I've never met him before. I've never even seen him before. Like, you know, I've just, you know, heard him or seen him online, but not like in real life. But he was super chill. He was really, really fun. Like, he was really down to earth, and it was really great to talk with him because it felt like we were just having a normal conversation. It didn't feel like an interview, you know?
Yeah, that's what I like about Dante Bosco. The couple of times that I've met him, it's like you're talking to a friend.
Yeah, no, it's great. And he was super chill, and it was really cool hearing his take on everything, but also hearing about his vision for the future. And we talked a lot about like the Asian American experience, which is cool.
Yeah, you can find that on our site, Scarlet Rhapsody, and you can also find that on our new YouTube channel, Scarlet Rhapsody on the Record, where we will be hosting interviews from current events we've been to, and we're slowly adding some past events on there too, including Kira Mai of Angelic Pretty.
Well, I'm excited to check out that one. Yeah. And of course, I need to tell you too, oh my gosh, Scarlet, so with Sean Astin, I'd prepared like a bunch of questions, right? About like Rudy and about the Goonies and things. We ended up talking about Lord of the Rings the entire time, which I'm totally okay with.
Yeah, I'm totally cool with that too.
I was so cool with that. It was just, I lost track of time, then all of a sudden, you know, the person accompanying him whispered to me, like, oh, you're out of time. And I was like, oh, okay, well, that was still great. Like, it was really fun hearing like stories from the set and like even his experience, like watching it, or, like watching movies after they had been filmed. And the emotional parts, I'm sure a lot of fans can relate to.
Oh, absolutely. Especially that end of Return of the King, where they're like on the eagles and they're just like, yeah, it's all over now. That scene just always gets to me. I mean, I'm not really into Lord of the Rings as much as some other people are, but there's just like a lot of really nice moments in the film that I really enjoyed. And I really liked him in Elijah Wood and Lord of the Rings as Sam and Frodo. Yay, bromance.
Yeah, no, seriously, ultimate bro TP. Oh my gosh. No, it's like, it's amazing. And like, his acting is so good in that movie, too.
Right. And then I still have a soft spot for him in The Goonies, because that's like my childhood right there.
I know.
And like, just going on like Pirates of the Caribbean at Disneyland, just kind of like going through the caverns and the skeletons, like, kind of feel like you're in The Goonies. But yeah, that's like one of my all time favorite movies. But yeah.
It's like throwback to The Goonies.
Yeah. So you also talked to the Prince of Saudi Arabia. Yes. What was that like?
I know, that was my first time meeting a prince, like first time ever. Like, that was so cool. He was super down to earth and chill too, and really charismatic. Like, His Highness Fahd Al Saud was just amazing, you know. And he was very sensitive to all the issues that we were discussing too. And like he was saying that he was really transparent, was talking about how, you know, he knows he's a man, but he's writing about, you know, women heroines, and that he even like had hired women consultants, things to make sure he's representing them correctly. And he's trying to get more and more Arab women involved in this project too, because he says obviously that they are the ones to tell their own story. Like, he doesn't want to tell it for them, but he just knows that he has to start as the first vehicle to make sure that there is some more representation.
Absolutely. It's really nice hear that there's a lot of progress going in that area. And also, also when you told me that he was a comic book writer and developer, I'm like, whoa, this is some different.
Yeah, I know.
It's not every day you hear, like, royalty writing and doing whatever with pop culture.
Yeah, that's amazing. Like, with Latifah, the comic, that's the first comic that came out in his Saudi Girls Revolution franchise, and that he did that with Stan Berkowitz, actually.
Interesting.
Collaboration. Yeah. And there's also the mobile game, too, and it was really cool hearing his take on it and how he wanted to make sure it was a mobile game so it's more easily accessible, you know, because a lot of women would have cell phones, and so easier for them to download, you know, like, a free game than for them to go into a video game store.
Absolutely.
To buy a video game.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it seems like he has a lot of really interesting, insightful things to say, and hopefully we'll have that interview before the end of the week. It's just, yeah, we're just still kind of taking care of the site, and then you mentioned that you met with a cosplayer slash photographer at the end of Sunday.
Yeah, Okami Yoshino's the last interview I had on the weekend, so I caught her before her panel, and so she had a few minutes, we just chatted about how she got into cosplay and all of that, and she actually, another cosplay friend of hers was at BoroughCon too, who was cosplaying as Nico from Love Live.
Oh, nice.
And she, that friend of hers, she said it was one of her models that she used a lot, like, to practice photography and such. And she was doing the White Day Nico outfit, which is really pretty.
I love White Day.
Yeah, it's so pretty. She had the wings and everything. But Akami Yoshino was pretty fun to talk to too, and she talked about how she got into cosplay and what it was like back then. And
how long has she been into cosplay?
I think around 8 years, she said.
Oh, wow. Okay.
It's an interview. I believe she said 8 years, but she was talking about how at the beginning it was like, you know, not many people wore wigs and stuff like that. And I remember those days, too. I'm
sure
you do. When it was, like, hard to find, you know, things to buy. So it was generally, like, people just, like, you know, whatever, use real hair or dye hair or whatever. And how, like, it's changed now and it's, like, become a lot easier to purchase things because you have the internet and all that. eBay, you know.
Taobao, and you have, like, the second to... Yeah.
Buying secondhand, you know.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. And she also talked about how cosplay got her into other hobbies, too. Like, because of cosplay, she also got into photography, and she also got into dance.
Oh, is she part of a cover group, or is she does she also dance on the side?
Yeah, like, she also, like, she had a performance on Sunday, too. Like, a dance performance.
Cool. Mm-hmm. Like, does she do like, idol cover stuff or, like, K-pop?
Yeah, covers? She does. She does, like, she says she does a lot of, like, otaku dances, but she does, like, idol covers and things like that.
Oh, cool. Yeah, it reminds me of my buddy out here, Mika Rin, who does, like, otaku cover dances. She gets to be a guest for those type of things, and, yeah.
Thanks to me.
Mm-hmm. So can you describe the overall vibe of BoroughCon? It seems to me like it's such a different environment from, like, a small anime con.
Yeah, no, I think BoroughCon was a really great con because it was super intimate. Like, it wasn't, like, tiny, but wasn't big either. I thought it was a good size for a small con when it's small enough that you can easily meet the guests. You know, like, for example, like, there's some people I bumped into at the con who said, oh my god, like, let's have a talk to Dante Basker or whatever, because he was just walking around the con, too, at some points. And then, of course, but it's big enough so it's not, like, too empty. You know, you still see a bunch of people.
Absolutely.
There actually weren't that many cosplayers, though. I noticed, like, compared to other smaller cons I've been to, it seemed like the ratio was much more people not in cosplay versus in cosplay.
Interesting.
I mean, there was still, like, your fair amount of cosplayers, too. Like, there were photo shoots going on and stuff like that. But I noticed there was a lot more people either in casual clothes or... actually saw a bunch of J-fashion, too.
Oh, that's nice. So, like, would you say there's, like, a couple of people from the New York Lolita community there?
I didn't see Lolita specifically. I don't know if they were more on Monday or on the Friday, but I did see some people wearing punk or, like, what looked like street fashion, stuff like that.
Kind of like Visual K type thing.
Yeah, I saw some Visual K sort of things and also some sort of, like, fandom fashion. Like, I know one of the performers who did K-pop covers on Sunday, And then she wore something that looked like a Harley Quinn inspired dress, which is cool, like a halter dress, but had like the Harley Quinn patterns on it.
Yeah, I've seen, I actually think I know what dress you're talking about. You said it had like a Harley Quinn type sequins, like kind of like a pattern type, and it was like
yeah,
a dress?
Yeah, like a possible dress, yeah. And a halter style.
Yeah, I know the brand that makes that. That's Pinup Girl Clothing. They recently released like a Harley Quinn inspired dress with the same color scheme. And I own that dress, but not in that color scheme. I own it in like the blue diamond color scheme because the color light blue, and I use that when I want to when I want to do a fandom inspired dress for Disneyland because it has like all the blue in it. But yeah, I've noticed like a lot of people do like a lot of fandom inspired fashion at like comic cons and like pop culture type events, because I know I also do that too with Star Wars, because I don't really have the time or the resources to make Star Wars cosplay. But what Jared and I have done is we've done like X-Wing versus TIE Fighter themed retro old Hollywood style 1930s X-Wing versus TIE Fighter inspired outfits, and we've done that at a couple of events. And yeah, I really like seeing all the creativity that comes from different people, from different fandoms. It's amazing.
Yeah, no, it's really great. And then it's really cool too because everyone I met there was super friendly. Like, no one, you know, had a bad attitude or anything.
Excellent. And would you say this was an event that kind of drew in locals? Did you meet from anyone from outside of New York?
Yeah, I think it was a lot of locals, people from New York, but also, you know, New Jersey, Connecticut, but, like, from this area.
That makes sense. Tri-state area. It's easy to, like, just take a train in from, like, Connecticut into the city, or,
yeah,
like,
exactly.
Just take the path to New York City.
Yeah, exactly. And it was just, it was also really easy to navigate, too. It was in a few buildings that are on the campus, but, you know, there's campus maps and things like that, so it wasn't too hard to find.
That's nice.
And yeah. Staff was really nice, too. And I know, like, how stressful it must be when it's, like, your first year running a con, but they were all, like, trying their best.
Okay. Would you recommend Borough-Con?
Yeah, I definitely would. I'm excited to see what they do with year two and how much it's going to grow next year.
All right. What are some things you'd like to see this con have in the future?
Yeah, so in the future, I think it would be really cool if they do more, I guess, later night events, because I noticed the con ended pretty early for our con. So, like, on Saturday night, I noticed I went, I believe, like, the video game room had closed at 9 p.m., I think, but it was, like, the last thing that was open. So, like, by 7 or 8, like, everything was pretty much shutting down.
Interesting.
So, like, I peeked into the video game room on Saturday night, and then I remember I sat down to play, like, one game, and then they said, like, oh, it's closing up now. And I know what most cons usually have later night stuff.
Oh, absolutely.
So I think it'd be cool if they added in the future, like, a dance or, like, later night programming, things like that, so people can actually stay at the con longer, because if you're shutting down at 9 p.m., then it's like, oh, it's over until tomorrow.
Hmm. Yeah.
I guess it forces you to sleep, but...
I think they just take into account the people who are commuting from the area, who have to, like, take train rides back home so they can come back the next day.
That's true.
And considering it takes place on a university as opposed to a convention center with a connecting hotel, I guess that would make
sense. That's true, too, yeah. I can imagine that. That might be why, actually. But I think they could still be able to extend it maybe to 10 or 11 p.m. Should be fine, because I'm sure there's places people can stay nearby the campus, too.
Absolutely. And what are your final thoughts on Borough-Con?
My final thoughts? Well, this is completely unrelated to Borough-Con, but just a personal thing. I was really happy they have a baseball diamond on campus that was, really, like, right next to the con.
Perfect,
like,
for
really,
your Ace of Diamond cosplay.
That's pretty much why I decided to cosplay Diamond Ace on Sunday. I didn't know what to cosplay, but I was there on Saturday in my Ruby cosplay, and I, like, saw on the map, wait, there's a diamond? There's a baseball diamond? And it was sort of like you walk down the pathway as if you're exiting con, but you just turn in one direction, and it's like the baseball diamond right there. Like, bleachers, the whole diamond. It was great.
Excellent.
Yeah.
All right. So this has been another edition of Zero Hour, Scarlet Rhapsody podcast. We cover anime conventions, comic cons, pop culture events. We have some exciting news for our website. We will be at Ronin Expo this weekend, and I believe Anime Next is this weekend, correct?
Yep, Anime Next is this weekend too. I'll be traveling there on Thursday, so in 2 days.
And that's in New Jersey, and that's over, like, what, on the Haras over there?
It's in Atlantic City.
Oh, yeah, Atlantic City. Because I actually thought about going, because I know Haras is one of the adjoining hotels, and I actually do have Haras credits. So I'm like, who wants a discounted hotel room?
Oh, nice. No, I'm not doing, I'm not doing the adjoining one. I'm doing one that I think is across the street or something, but pretty close, like walking distance.
Excellent. Yeah, we got Ronin Expo this week. It's a one-day event in Little Tokyo. The weekend after, we will be at Hydra Comic Con in Santa Clara. So we'll be flying up for that one in Northern California. Weekend after is Regal Con in Irvine. It's a second year con that is focusing more on pop culture, but they also want to draw in more anime related programming to the event. And the weekend after that is Anime Expo. Ho ho ho. So,
Wow. Yeah,
it's going to be a crazy month for Scholar Raps, and we're just being chill, taking it easy before, like, this weekend madness happens. And we're also doing stuff for Classy Cats, which is our division where we talk about vintage fashion and retro fashion events. So we've also been gravitating toward that area, too, because the weekend after Expo, I'm going to go see Dita Von Teese.
Oh my gosh, I'm so jealous.
Do you know who she is?
Yeah, of course I know who she
is. Do you also know who Lady Gaga is? This is a serious question.
Hmm?
Do you know who Lady Gaga is?
Lady
Gaga, this is a serious question.
Oh, Lady Gaga, yeah.
Yes, I finally know someone who knows both Dita and Lady Gaga. I'm not alone.
You're not. No, because Dita Von Teese, she's a really famous burlesque dancer, right?
Yeah, she's that person. I have eventually got tickets to go see her. I have a friend of mine had extra VIP tickets in Anaheim. Oh. So I'm like, yay! I just have to figure out what to wear.
No, I can't believe she's in her 40s. You know that, right?
Yeah, she's 44. She actually went to school out here in Irvine.
She looks so young.
Mm-hmm. I know, right? Like, she doesn't age. Like, I've actually met her in person at at Kamikaze a couple years ago, and I ended up having her sign her book. And Deborah, who's one of our site contributors, her cat is named after Dita Von Teese.
Really?
Yeah, I just posted. I'll send you the photo on online. Yeah.
That's so nice.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, the running joke is. A lot of people, the running joke between me and Jared is that, like, Dita Von Teese and Lady Gaga exist in two different universes. So it just surprises us, like, it's just like when we were at Viva this year, where you can read our Viva report on our website, like, a lot of people didn't know who Lady Gaga was who were in line for Dita Von Teese. And we just had this running joke, like, okay, are we just in different dimensions?
You either know one or the other.
Yeah, like, you either know one or the other, so it's very rare. It's like, oh my god, you know Lady Gaga and Dita Von Teese. So that's why I just mentioned, like, yeah, they're both interdimensional people.
Oh gosh.
Different dimensions. So yeah, that's just our stupid running joke since attending Viva. But yeah,
I could try to make it to the burlesque show. Apparently there's one at MA Next.
Yeah, the East Cosplay Burlesque out on the East Coast is like the best. The ones out west here, they're kind of meh, and I kind of have issues with them because, like, they slut shame strippers and stuff. But
oh no, that's not good.
Yeah, not cool. But
we
don't endorse that or them for that matter. But Cosplay Burlesque, we do endorse because we love them, and I'm friends with some people on their team. So I've actually seen them live at Katsucon, and I hope you enjoy them at Anime Next if you ever get a chance to see it. Just make sure you get your 18 plus wristband right away and get in line right away, because even when I had a press badge for Katsucon, it was pretty crazy. Just make sure you get your seats in right away, because I actually just decided to just chill. When I saw Katsucon, I just decided to just chill there for like a half hour, an hour before, and just use my phone, just brought a book while waiting.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, you won't be disappointed. You won't be disappointed.
Okay, so get the wristband, too. Yeah.
Yeah, you won't be disappointed. Cosplay Burlesque out east is the best.
Cool. I mean, my first time at a burlesque show and the only time at a burlesque show was actually at ConBust.
Oh, how would that go?
Yeah, it wasn't necessarily cosplay burlesque, but it was pretty cool because they had a lot of plus-size models, which I thought was great, and they used some nerdy songs, too, which is cool, and they're all really good dancers. I was so impressed.
Yeah, I just... envy the fact that they have all this confidence to, like, just get up there and just dance, because, like, even though like, I really enjoy watching them, I'm like, I don't have the confidence to do this.
Yeah, I would not be able to do that. I was like, so much respect. Like, oh my gosh.
Like, you can put me in idol outfits. Like, okay, I'll do the dance, whatever. But I'm like, I just gotta give mad props to people in these organizations and these dance groups, like, you guys are amazing. You guys are killing it, and don't let anyone tell you different.
Exactly.
All right, so yeah, that was so yeah, a lot of awesome things are coming up on Scarlet Rhapsody, and we hope you stay tuned and check those out. And again, this has been Eri Kagami and Lee May for another edition of Zero Hour, and we will see you at the con.
See you at the con.